Welcome to TAPS, the accounting podcast series. I'm Albie Brooks and working with me is Abby Treloar. Today our guest is Pat McClay. Pat completed his undergraduate degree at the University of Glasgow. Pat is a registered company auditor and member of both the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Scotland as well as Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand. Pat has worked across multiple large accounting and consulting firms in a diverse set of roles, including head of audit, accounting advisory lead, and partner. Currently, Pat is a partner at EY based here in Melbourne. Pat has strong connections to the university, having championed the Honours Internship Program, and is currently spending some time with us as part of the Executive in Residence Program. Let's find out more. Welcome to TAPS, Pat. So,
thanks, Albie. Thanks
for coming right back. Now, what triggered your interest in accounting in the first place?
I think it was very practical reasons. It was all about hedging my bets and, you know, trying to make sure I'd have a job when I left university. I knew I wanted to do something in business, and I think an accounting qualification was a great route to business more generally, as well as a route to a more structured career path after university. So it probably wasn't any more sophisticated than that when you think back to how young I was and trying to work out what to do with life. But it looked interesting and it seems to have worked out.
Just as an aside, did you do any accounting in school at all?
No,
or was your first go at it was at university?
It was at university, and you know, I'll be honest, you know, struggled with some of those things. I mean, the subjects at school were science, maths, and English. You know, fairly traditional, old-fashioned subjects in many ways, and so doing accounting and economics and business law and systems and statistics was a little bit different, and you could certainly see the difference between those peers who'd done some of that at school and those like me who hadn't. So
yeah,
it was interesting, but it was quite a challenge at the same time.
Of course. Now, you've held various roles and performed a multitude of different accounting and audit-related tasks. Which of those have you enjoyed most and perhaps why?
Oh, crikey, that's a tough one. If I look back, you know, lots of great moments in terms of clients and projects, you know, covering everything, you know, from every firm I've been at, there's been something that's been amazing and made a difference to my career, and both audit and advisory. In terms of enjoyment, though, it's on the people side, and is what gives me the biggest kick. And it's, yes, there's problem solving and there's technical knowledge and business knowledge, but at the end of the day, it's about, you know, helping clients and helping colleagues, you know, progress in their goals. And so that's definitely the fun stuff, is when you see you've had an impact. And that can be both small and big, you know. Mm. So when you hear a client or a colleague or a peer reflect back, that's what gives me the greatest buzz, which, you know, it's probably surprising if I think back to when I started, and I didn't, you know, I probably had no appreciation of how important the relationship and people side of things would be, in conjunction, of course, with the core content.
Mm-hmm. So you really enjoy spending time inside organizations, basically.
That's exactly it. So, you know, and I guess it's why I've always stayed within professional services, is the ability to get out and work with clients. You know, the other days I trained with a small firm in Glasgow and then did audit and lots of advisory work at EY when I joined there, once I was qualified. And that was it. You know, the stuff you learn, the people you meet, the exposure you get to different problems and different systems is, and everyone's a learning opportunity, right? That's the other big cross-section to all of this, is it's continuous learning. Yes. So it's both on the people side as well as the content side.
Yeah, excellent. So just focusing on the audit profession for a moment. So what do you think are some of the challenges currently facing the audit profession?
Yeah, there's a few challenges there, I guess. The profession's always changing. And I guess that's what drives a lot of it. But I mean, that creates both challenges and opportunities. And although I don't sign audits these days, you know, I'm still part of the overall assurance practice at EY. So our advisory work is still very, very tied to audit and compliance, whether it's from EY's perspective or the client's perspective. So regulation is always a challenge. There's lots of different regulations that we need to deal with and our clients need to deal with. So navigating those, and they're changing. So that's always a challenge. But, you know, it's an essential feature of society, and we've got a great role there in terms of helping our clients respond to that, as well as being a voice in the profession. Again, I mean, no apologies for it, but again, every time we sit down to do business planning every year and look at where things are going to go and what's going to stop us getting there, and we always come back to people, right? Mm. So it's how do we attract and retain and motivate and reward enough of the right people at the right time? So that's the perennial challenge for our profession, not just audit, right? Mm. So when, you know, we've all got a responsibility to talk about it, what's cool about it, what's fun, what our value proposition is, and then listen to the feedback. Because if we don't do that, then, you know, the people aren't going to be here, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, look, the larger consulting firms have found themselves in the news in recent months, not exactly for good reasons.
Yeah.
Where to now for the profession and the large consulting firms? And, you know, what are some of the lessons out of recent months?
Yeah, you're right, Albie. I mean, there has been a lot of scrutiny at different levels, you know, especially both, you know, federal and state government, you know, very interested in a range of matters, you know, from ethics to working hours. And look, you know, whilst these can be uncomfortable, you know, subject matters on occasion, they're critical areas that, you know, we've got to face into, and we've got to make these better continuously. You know, EY's, you know, we're committed to this. We've got to engage in these discussions and, you know, help shape the profession for the future. Listen to the feedback, listen to the points of views, listen to the evidence presented, and then deal with it. In terms of lessons learned, I think we've seen, the big one obviously, is we've seen a very timely reminder of the importance of ethics and professional responsibilities. And I think not just in our profession, but everywhere we turn, this is an increasing subject matter in business and in society. You know, we look at artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, ethical use of technology is a bigger and bigger issue. And related to that is privacy. So, you know, ethics is, you know, underpins everything we do within professional accounting and indeed the whole profession. And we've seen, you know, where the acts of, you know, in reality, a very small number of people within one firm have affected, you know, the vast majority of the good people in that firm and indeed the profession, you know, for all of us in business and academia and research, you know, because we're all accountants and business professionals and we take it seriously. So, but, you know, we've just got to lean into these, listen to the feedback, appreciate the evidence and make it better.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now, you mentioned AI, artificial intelligence. I know you have an interest in that. What do you see as the big issues confronting the profession with respect to AI? We've mentioned it with respect to ethics. What else do you think?
Yes. Yes, I absolutely do have an interest in it, Albie. I think everyone needs to. It's, you know, technology is a part of life, part of personal life and business life. And AI's been around for some time now. When you see tools like ChatGPT get launched, it shines a whole new light on these things. So in terms of, you know, where it ends up, who knows, right? But I think we can see the benefits in these technologies in terms of taking tasks and out of, you know, certain things we're doing today and streamlining a range of activities. So business is definitely still wrestling with it. I think I saw a report from the HR Institute yesterday morning. And it said, I think the headline was 3 out of 4 businesses are considering or have banned the use of ChatGPT and similar in business. Mm. That's an amazing headline, right? Mm. And so I think it does reflect the range of uncertainty. I think people see the opportunity, but still wrestling with it. And the rules and experience are changing by the day. But you know, I think we will embrace these, you know, the issues around ethics, privacy, copyright. You know, these are real issues. Mm. I think we're all still working out, and I certainly am, how we deal with them. But I think we will, and I think you start to, you know, maybe not use the open versions of these tools and have versions that are contained within large organizations' perimeters. That starts to deal with some of the headline issues, I think. Mm. You can see a route through it. But it's my advice is be aware, keep reading, talk about it. I think use it personally and sensitively. And you know, proceed with caution, but I think it's exciting as well.
Yeah. So in a large consulting firm, is are most employees and managers and partners expected to, does the organization provide their development in this area? Is it up to the individual? Is it up to the individual particular teams or groups to enhance their understanding? How does it work within a large consulting firm, something like AI?
Yeah, good question. So it's there's probably updates every week on this. So that gives you a sense as to how quickly things are moving and how much we're learning. We get an update to use guidance yesterday as well, actually. So yeah. I had two notable AI data points in my inbox yesterday. But yeah, so we have, you know, the firm has principles. There's a range of guidance documents as well. The principles document is really important because that sets the headline parameters for all of us. And it's not a long document, so it's well contained and, you know, really important. That's where to start. And that's where we point all our people. But then we have a range of tools in terms of how we go to market to support us in our client discussions generally and specifically. We have a champion network of specialists in this area across all service lines. And so we know who to contact when we have a question. We have some really good courses, EY courses, as well as third-party content as well. A couple of weeks ago, I did three 30-minute courses. So these are good compact courses, one on ethics, one on principles, and one on where to start with generative AI. So, you know, we're in a very fortunate position within, you know, a large organization like EY, but we have these tools readily available to us. And then more informally, I just talk about it with my teams. You know, we'll do drop-in sessions, lunch and learns. Again, very much keeping it about sharing personal use, because the business use is probably still a bit early yet in many ways. But using it for, you know, personal things is still a great way to learn the technology and talk about the issues. So that's probably the main things we're doing at the moment, Albie.
Yeah, that's excellent. And so probably connected to this, but thinking about the education of the future accountants, if you like, the profession, do you have any insights as to how we might improve the education of accountants and advisors to meet the needs of industry going forward?
Yeah, sure. I think probably the first one is, I guess part of the reason why I'm here today and then this week at the university. It's about increasing those touch points and having better communication between stakeholders, right? And that's business and employers, that's students, it's researchers, it's the university, right? There's a number of stakeholders here. So I think it's important we get beyond the traditional touch points of getting close to graduation and, you know, talking about graduate programs, right? But you know, notwithstanding some of the technology changes, you know, there's still, you know, going to be a shortage of accountants, auditors, finance and business professionals, I think, in the future. Some of the tasks may change, but the jobs and the opportunities will still be there. And we've seen that time and time again over my career. So I think it's, in terms of today's student, yes, it's a technical content, but it's also thinking about the softer skills. It's building relationships. It's problem solving. It's execution, the ability to get things done, right? So it's some of those things. And another big one as well, which is, you know, you pick these skills up as well as the content at university, hopefully. But it's continuous learning, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the one thing we've... One thing that's kept me in my job is the learning opportunities. And we can all learn in different ways, but I think learning about yourself, knowing yourself and how you learn and progress is the other big skill for the successful accounting, audit, consulting professional.
Mm-hmm. In some ways, you've rolled into the next thing I was going to talk to you about specifically, which is, so a current student, if we turn to the current student, apart from those couple of things that you just mentioned, what advice would you have for any student looking to a career in accounting, audit, and or consulting? And we know they all end up sort of locked in together, but what would you say to the current student, which I guess you're having the opportunity of doing in the last week or and the next week as well while on campus?
Yes, it's some of those things, but it's amazing that there's no shortage of gateways to your career, whatever you want that to be. And I think it's, which I touched on right at the start, and that's why I get into this game in the first place. And I think it's, you know, it's very rare for things to get closed down. And yes, you can specialise and go down different paths, but there's always an opportunity. So when you think a door may have closed, I think it's back to that learning point. Focus on the learning experience and, you know, look for a reason to say yes to the opportunities that come across your desk, right? They won't always be the right things, but I think try and find a reason to say, look, isn't that interesting? Isn't that fascinating? What's the angle there? Where could that take me? That's probably held me in quite good stead, and I think it still applies today. I've never been terribly good at career planning. I've had various points. Like when I was leaving university, I struggled to get a job. I had interviews with all the major firms at the time, but I wasn't very good at communicating. I was a bit shy and nervous, and flunked all the interviews, right? So I struggled to get a job. But again, it worked out for the best. I ended up at a really small firm. My learning experience was different, but... Yep. You know, I moved on, found different routes into different opportunities, and, you know, I've had an amazing career, worked with some amazing people and learned a lot of really cool things, you know, and it's taken me to interesting places, you know, today being a case in point, you know, here talking to you and spending time with your colleagues in the department is brilliant.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Great advice. Look, it's been a pleasure, Pat. Thanks for joining us here at TAPS, Pat. Really appreciate it. Your insights and advice and the way in which you've conveyed and communicated the state of the profession is just fantastic. It's been a lot of fun, and we wish you well in your current and future endeavours. And in the immediate short term, continue to enjoy your stay here at Melbourne. Thank you.
Thanks, Albie. A pleasure.